Will y'all have a seat? Let's give a round of applause to our worship band. They do so great every week. Sorry, I just swallowed some gum because there wasn't a napkin over there. And I can't talk with gum in my mouth. My name is Bryce, and I have a new life in Christ. And I'm in recovery from fear of man, swallowing gum, pride, low self-worth, and all these things really come from this really deep desire to be accepted. Hey, y'all. Well, it's good to be back here with you guys again in this capacity. I feel like it's been a while. It's good to see all of y'all's faces. If you've been with us for the past 6 or 7, 8 weeks or so, we went through a series called Influencers. And the series on influencers was about things in our life that influence us either towards God or away from God, towards destruction and death. And this week, we're beginning a brand new series called Idols. There's a lot of things come to mind maybe when you think of the word idols, but we're kind of focusing on these four right here. You can see control, comfort, power, acceptance. We're gonna talk more about what that looks like. But before we get deep into those, I'm kind of gonna open that up for us this week and just talk about the word idol or the concept of idolatry, because I know that it can become pretty confusing for a lot of us. A lot of us come from a lot of different areas, a lot of different backgrounds. And I just want to make sure that we're all on the same page of what idolatry is and what idols are before we jump in to our brand new series of idols officially. And so you may be asking yourself, what is idolatry? What is an idol? But in order to understand what idolatry is, we have to understand where we come from. And if you would have met me when I was 16, I was a kid that really, really had no purpose. I was kind of wandering on throughout my life, just trying to figure. I literally woke up with no plan for that day. I just lived for what was in front of me. Had no purpose, had no direction. And when I was 17, I heard the gospel for the first time. But what really changed my heart to God and his character is that God didn't just create me and send me off, but he created me with a purpose. And our purpose was not only to be created by God, but to be created for God. We had a purpose, a divine one, one in which he had set before us because he loves us, not because he's just some creator God that sits up in the heavens on the throne and kind of watches us and like points his fingers and shoots lightning bolts down and blows stuff up, but one that loves us and cares for us. That is the basis of our existence. We were created by a God to be in right relationship with him, but also to represent him on the earth and to live as him being our the centerpiece of our existence. Like every desire is predicated on the understanding that we were created by him. And so our greatest desire would be for him. We were created to worship him. If you were here a while back, we taught on fear, and giving fear is giving authority or power, dominion of your life over to something. And give fear to a lot of different things. But we're created to give that fear to God. That's what we're created for. We are essentially beings of worship. That's what we do. Whatever it is that is in front of us, that our greatest desire is, we will worship. And at the beginning of the time, right in the garden, we exchanged the truth about God being the ultimate being of worship for a lie. And it says this in Romans 1, verse 25. It says, because they exchanged the truth about God, us, humanity, Adam and Eve, for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator who is blessed forever, amen. What we did as human beings is instead of worshiping God, the one who is the only one true being worthy of that worship, we chose to worship creation. We took that, we're like, nah, God, like, I don't need you. I think I can figure it out for myself. I think I understand what's best for me. I don't need you as the creator, God. I'm gonna go worship this stuff that you created, but I'm gonna make it ultimate. And that is what idolatry is. The things that we worship besides God is called idolatry or idols, the things we run to. A really basic way to understand this is when we value something more than we value God. Idolatry is valuing something, anything, more than you value God. What we give ultimate value to in our lives will be the object of what we worship. And these things don't have to be bad things. Like God has created you, but he's also created other things in the world. It's called creation. The creator created creation. And he created it for us, that we would enjoy it, like the land, whatever it is, animals, we were created to enjoy the creation that God has created for us. But what happens is we took creation and we put it on top and we put creator under. And we exchanged the truth about God for a lie. So I'm trying to explain, what I hope you understand is that not all idols are inherently bad. They're not inherently bad things, like they're not sinful things, but what we do with them becomes sinful. We create them as idols, or we make them into idols. John Calvin famously said, the human heart is a perpetual idol factory. The human heart is a perpetual idol factory. And that kind, he kind of hammers that home a little bit. It's like, hey, well, it really isn't this object that is an idol. It's what you do with the object that makes it an idol. Your flesh desires to worship things that are not God over and over and over again. It doesn't matter what's before you, but if your heart doesn't love God, you will worship something that is not God. That's what John Calvin is essentially saying here, and we do it so often. Because our hearts are perpetual idol factories, we perpetually give ultimate value to things that are not him. And it harms us. It creates brokenness, these themes in our lives. When we run to these idols, it hurts us. And it's probably a large portion, or I would say that the reason why you're in this room is because there's some idol in your life that you've run to over and over again, and it's created a lot of destruction and pain in your heart. And I can understand that. Our region team here can understand that. The people who are in your groundwork groups, who are leading it, or in first-time groups, they can understand that. And so you're not alone. Welcome. If this is your first time, I'm really glad that you're here. But just to kind of give us a little bit of context of what idols have been talked about in the Bible, because if you're familiar with the Bible, you understand that the word idols is used a ton in the Old Testament. And so I'm going to help us understand what that is a little bit. In the Old Testament, usually idols would be statues. There would be statues carved out of wood, and then they would be put up in a house. And then they would put like jewelry on it, and then they would bow down and they would worship it. And it would be in the form of a lot of things. Sometimes it would be like a man looking statue, or sometimes it'd be like a tall pole with like carvings in the side of it, like, and then even animals that they would put inside or on the side of these wooden things. And they would create all these different idols or these statues, and they would worship it, but they weren't really worshiping the statue. They weren't worshiping the statue as though it was the object of the worship, if that makes sense. Like, they weren't going to it for the sake of the statue. They were going to it for the sake of something else. They would worship a god for fertility. Like, if they wanted to have a baby, they would go and they would sacrifice to these wooden poles. And that sounds so crazy, right? Or they would go to this other god and they would sacrifice and worship for rain or for wealth or to the war gods so that they would win some battle. And they would give their lives away. They would literally sacrifice life for this thing that they wanted from it. And it sounds wild. Like, if you saw like a pole, right? If y'all walked in here and we had a pole right here, I'm like, all right, everybody give your money to this one pole so you guys can, like, I don't know, have a good day tomorrow, a good Tuesday. Y'all would think I was wild, and I'd hope you would leave immediately. But because it's so crazy. But the reality of it is that we do the same thing on a daily basis. It just doesn't look as crazy. It's not as blatant. Like, we don't have wooden poles that we go and we sacrifice things to. We have these other idols in our hearts that are much deeper. They're harder to see. And we go to them and we sacrifice to them. We give our lives over to them so that we can gain something in return. And what I would say is that the thing that you're looking for is the thing you're desiring, the thing you're sacrificing for to gain back to yourself in return is the idol that you're really worshiping. Like, what is it that you want the most? That's a good question to ask. I try to ask myself often, what is the thing that you want the most? What are you going out of your way on a daily basis to accomplish or to gain for yourself so that you can feel satisfied? What is that? And it's much deeper than maybe what we would understand on the surface. last year, June 1st, I moved into this place. Maybe I shouldn't say the address, but it's 421 Forest Grove in Richardson. It's kind of north of here. But I moved in there. If you were to see it, it looks like a cinder block. Like, it's gray, and there's like one window only, and it's on the corner of this street. It's in Canyon Creek, and so all these houses are kind of nice. There's like families around, and then mine sticks out like a sore thumb on the corner because it's just like, it literally looks like a compound, so we called it the compound. And it wasn't just because it was gray and it looked like a cinder block is the reason why it was stuck out so bad, but the yard was incredibly ridiculous. I'm telling you, we mowed the lawn, I mean, once a week, if not twice a week, and still we were getting dirty looks from the people walking past us because they're like, oh, look at your yard, it's like all bad. Needless to say, we didn't win Yard of the Month. And we also got like weekly letters from the, you know, the Neighborhood Watch guys. Sorry if y'all are on the Neighborhood Watch, but those guys got really salty with our yard and kept leaving letters on our deck. I'm sorry, I mowed it yesterday. I tried my best. But it's because there were weeds that just kept coming up. Like we would mow it, and then the next day, straight up, like 2 feet tall. I'm not joking at all. And so by that time, I would just walk by and kick them, and I didn't even try. Kind of left the weed eater. I just would rip them out when I was mad. Anyways, it's a good way to get out your anger, to rip out weeds. But what I mean by that is that we would try so often to try to cut these weeds down with the weed eaters and mowing the lawn a ton. And week after week, they would just keep coming back, and it literally looked like they got worse. It's like every time we weed eated them, the seeds would fly out and they would just grow more. And it sucked for, yeah, thank you. Appreciate it. But the thing about that was, is that we were only attacking the symptom, not the source. We were mowing down these weeds and we were just making it worse because if you didn't know this, which I didn't know this, but when you were trying to get rid of weeds, you have to kill it at the root. And in the same way, we come into this room with this problem of pornography or this problem of maybe alcohol or codependent relationships. Whatever may be a broken marriage, whatever brings you into this room, I would venture to say that that is a symptom, not the source. Now, let me be very clear on this. Pornography is destructive. It will destroy your heart. It will destroy your relationships. So will an addiction to alcohol or addiction to drugs. It will destroy everything in your path. It leaves a wake of destruction that I'm sure if those of you in this room are dealing with it, you've seen already. But it's not the source. And so if you're coming to this room and you're thinking that if I could just deal with pornography, then all my problems will be gone. Or if I can just deal with alcohol, my problems will be gone. That's not the case. Because it's much deeper. We are going to these idols, these statues of pornography or alcohol or whatever it may be, for something in return, to satisfy something deeper. And what we're gonna be talking about for the next 4 weeks is what that deeper desire is. We would call those source idols. We didn't make it up as a team. It's been talked about by a few different people recently and for a long time, honestly. There's a book called Counterfeit Gods that Timothy Keller wrote. He writes extensively about just idolatry in general. Super helpful if you'd love to read it. I'm listening to it right now because I'm an auditory learner. I just learned that recently. But I don't know why I said that out loud. I'm sorry. We believe that those of you who are coming through Region, trying to figure out, trying to learn what it looks like to find healing and freedom, we believe that you will not be able to find freedom from the sin unless you know the sin that you are finding freedom from. And so many of us are blinded by Satan into thinking that it's these little actions, like it's the pornography that it's like really, really destroying me. Well, no, it's the thing that's causing you to run to it. And until you can kill that, until you can reveal that, shine a light on it, confess it, and be prayed for, those things will not find you will not find healing from them. God wants to break the chains of those. And we believe that as we kind of show you what it looks like, what those deeper things may be in your heart, we believe that they will be finally killed. Because God promises that he wants to do those things. For instance, so we're gonna be talking about four different ones, these deeper issues, these deeper source idols that spread and create the fruit of the destructive patterns in your life. One of them being comfort. Because we don't really find people who are alcoholics for the sake of being an alcoholic. Like no true alcoholic wants to be one. But it's the medicine to the problem of their sin. They're running to it. It's the symptom of the source. The source may be comfort. they're seeking comfort to numb things, or codependent relationships so that we can feel accepted. I struggle with a need. I said it up top. The things that I struggle with really find the root in wanting to be accepted. Fear of man, pride, low self-worth. Or maybe you're an individual here who has anger issues. You blow up on your family. It's not for the sake of blowing up on your family or getting in fights that you do that. It's to feel powerful. Or maybe you are here and you've been in a lot of relationships and you've been really manipulative in those relationships. And it's not for the sake of being manipulative. Like, nobody wants to be a mean person or a manipulative individual, but you do it for your ability to feel like you're in control. And so those are just some examples of a deeper issue that causes us to do something really, really destructive. And those deeper issues are idols that we worship, that we've given ultimate value for or to, for the sake of security maybe, or identity. We hand it over to them and we expect that it would satisfy us and give us those things in return. We worship them instead of worshiping God. And here's the thing about sin. Is that sin requires a payment. Because we've been created by a just God, one that is not chaotic, but he has order to him. He's created us by specific design. Because he is a just God, the payment for our sin is death. But this God loves you so much that he came and he paid the, you heard Travis talking about, he paid the penalty of death on your behalf that you would be in right relationship with him. So that control or that comfort or that power or acceptance that you run to instead of running to him, those things are no longer idols in your life, but they could be good things that God gifts to you. God fulfills all those things. And we'll learn more about that as we go throughout this series. But I need you to know that the character of God is one that comes to you in your deepest and darkest problems and pains when you're in the midst of that control, and he shows you his love. And he calls you into a relationship with him. And then you realize that your true sense of comfort, where true control comes from, true acceptance, true power comes from him. And then your life begins to change. You become freed from your sin. We'll talk about that in the coming weeks. But tonight we're gonna hear from our friend Keith, who has experienced the love of God, who experienced the character of God in such a way as where he's able to turn away from those deep idols and hand them over to God and be changed from the inside out. So if you'll put your hands together and welcome Keith to the podium.